A scary time for India.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Fear has gripped India's financial capital of Mumbai. Two luxury hotels have turned into a battleground where police are fighting terrorists. Those terrorists coordinated an attack on 10 locations around the city. An Islamic militant group has claimed responsibility. So far, more than 100 people are dead. Mumbai has seen this kind of thing before, but this time the economic consequences could be much more severe, considering the state of the global economy. We're joined now by Rupak Saluja. He's a film producer based in Bombay. Rupak, what kind of fallout could India be facing here?
Yes, it definitely will have an impact in foreign investor confidence, on India's international image, on people's confidence within India as well. All the stakeholders involved are going to feel it, especially when the stock market opens tomorrow. There's going to be a lot of empty planes coming to India over the next few weeks and maybe some canceled flights. But overall, I think there is going to be a tendency towards resilience, and you'll see that the effects are not going to be very long-lasting.
And is there anything here to the timing of it with the global economy suffering the way it is?
Yeah, it is definitely unfortunate. I mean, it's not like you need something like this happening at any point, but you really don't need it happening now. Less than 6 months ago, the index on the Indian stock market was at about 20,000. We're about somewhere around, hovering around 8,000 right now, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see it flirting with 5.5, 6 in the next week.
Rupak, you're a film producer?
That's right.
You know, India has made a name for itself in the movie business. I'm wondering if there might be some backlash on your industry because of attacks like this.
Well, as far as my industry personally, we make TV commercials for international markets, and we work with a lot of international directors. And I do expect our business to be affected in the short term, at least in terms of a lot of, you know, a lot of people not wanting to travel to India and such things.
Film producer Rupak Saluja in Bombay, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
India's stock market was closed today. Obviously, Wall Street is closed as well. Markets elsewhere in Asia and in Europe have seen gains so far. Today, Germany said its unemployment rate has hit a 16-year low, but it's still 7%, and Germany is officially in recession, so more job losses could be coming. One German entrepreneur has created a holiday job for himself. He's selling a chocolate Jesus. From Berlin, Kyle James reports.
Frank Unhausen says he wants to reintroduce traditional values to an overly commercial Christmas. So he looked around at the market and all those chocolate Santas out there and founded a business called Sweet Lord. Its main product, a 3.5-ounce chocolate figure of Jesus wrapped in gold foil. Just look at the current banking crisis, he says, this lust for money. That has something to do with values. The chocolate Jesus could make people take another look at what he taught and how he lived. Unhausen says he's gotten thousands of internet orders from around the globe, but Germany's churches are not amused. A Catholic spokesman despaired the fact that Jesus could end up on a store shelf next to chocolate elves and edible bunnies. Others have called the idea tasteless and the height of kitsch. In Berlin, I'm Kyle James for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Thursday, November 27th on Marketplace.org. Happy Thanksgiving. In Britain, more than 30,000 jobs are in jeopardy now that a major retailer has collapsed. That would be Woolworths. The low-cost chain has gone bust after 99 years. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Woolworths, an offshoot of the American Five and Dime stores, has more than 800 shops in Britain. They all face closure. The company went bankrupt last night after its bankers pulled the plug. The timing is unprecedented, with almost a month to go before Christmas. British consumers are famous for their prodigious levels of shopping throughout the festive season. To pull the plug now shows how desperate for cash the banks have become, says analyst Robert Clark.
The irony of it is with Woolworths that it actually makes money at Christmas. It's the only time that it does make money. So it would probably have been profitable trading fully through Christmas.
He says the danger is there could now be a fire sale of Woolworths stock. That could trigger a pre-Christmas price war, sapping the profits of other stores. Many more could go bust in January. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Here in the U.S., Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke has made it clear. He may have to lower interest rates again to get banks lending and people spending. The only problem is that credit card companies are kind of working against that. They've launched a new wave of rate and fee hikes this holiday season. Here's Jill Barchet.
Some cards have boosted finance charges, cut the number of days to pay your bill, and increase late fees.
We saw American Express increase some of their rates significantly.
That's Michelle Grabo of Informa Research Services. She tracks credit card rates around the country. She says this is only the beginning.
We're hearing international transaction fees could be going up.
Mark Sacher is managing director at Oriema Consulting Group. He says banks are scratching their heads over how to make money from credit cards in these troubled times.
It's the fact that credit loss rates are so high these days, they need to find a way of offsetting those losses with increased revenue.
Sacher says banks are also under pressure from regulators to reduce their risks. That means banks may get stingier with your credit limit this holiday season. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade always conjures up memories. Sitting on the couch in your pajamas, smelling mom's cooking. And that's just the kind of thing Macy's wants this year. Because nostalgia might be the only effective sales pitch. Andrea Gardner has more.
It's simple. When you're worried about money, you don't shop. So retailers are creating ads to wipe away your worry and make you smile again. Consumer psychologist Kit Yarrow says one of the most effective tactics is a dose of the good old days.
For some reason, nostalgic memories always seem to be positive. Our brain doesn't seem to be that specific about details, just transmits these kind of warm and glowy feelings.
Macy's is using nostalgia this year with huge newspaper ads that reprint the famous Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa letter. Macy's is also running this commercial, highlighting its place in American culture through the decades.
This is Macy's.
Macy's touts its 150-year anniversary in the ads, and Yarrow says that's smart. Consumers are finding security in heritage brands that have weathered tough economic times before. In Los Angeles, I'm Andrea Gardner for Marketplace.
After you're done eating today, maybe your thoughts will drift toward healthier food. Cash Peters changed his diet recently and found it made his wallet lighter, too.
Oh, guess what? I've become a vegetarian.
Yeah!
Calm down, I only just started. But I made the decision after I met this guy, Dave Wolf. He's a health guru, and therefore somebody I'd usually avoid.
I've been a raw food vegetarian for over 15 years now, and I never feel sore muscles, never wiped out, my brain is never foggy, because there's nothing clogging my system.
Yeah, well, okay. Problem is, if I did turn vegetarian and quit hamburgers, chicken, sausages, or as I call them, my friends in the fridge, what was I going to eat instead? Turned out it's exactly what I'd feared. Organic vegetables. I know, crazy people food, right?
You know, I could take an avocado, sprinkle a little bit of kelp on it, and have a little bit of seaweed, like dull seaweed, and I'm good to go.
Yeah, well, good for you. Avocado and seaweed. Colleen Patrick-Goudreau is the woman behind vegetarian website CompassionateCooks.com.
I encourage people to cook from scratch as much as possible and eat whole foods. We're talking about fruits and vegetables. It doesn't take that long to chop up some vegetables.
Well, no, but it takes longer than visiting the drive-thru at Wendy's. But you know what? I did it anyway. Started eating fruits and raw vegetables. Even bought a recipe book and made a vegetarian meatloaf using buckwheat instead of meat. Oh, sure, it tastes like the stuff they use as filler in padded envelopes, but it's not just about the taste. Turning vegetarian can be expensive. My grocery bill shot up about 30%. Actually, Colleen thought I was whining way too much.
First of all, you said that, you know, you're making things that nobody else wants to eat. So I think you may need to look at a few more recipes and I can provide you with some. But what
happens... You're not selling a book, are you, Colleen, by any
chance? Well, I do have a book. Actually, funny you bring that up.
Yeah, very funny. They're all selling stuff, these guys. Vegetarianism is big business. But if you want to do it too, well, here's my tip. A, phase it in gradually so your body gets used to it. And so does your bank manager. I mean, $16 I paid for a jar of spirulina tablets. Also, B, find a diet that's right for your body. It's been 3 weeks now, and here's the surprise. I feel fantastic. And not in a crazy person way. This stuff works. Buckwheat meatloaf, anyone? In Los Angeles, I'm Kesh Peters for Marketplace.
On Monday, Consumers International will give out its Bad Company Awards for the year. Last year, Coke and Mattel were both winners, or should that be losers? Coke for selling tap water as bottled water, and Mattel for all of its toy recalls. But the top award went to a Japanese company that marketed sleeping pills to children. This year, bad products? I'm thinking mortgage-backed securities. A lot of bad products wind up in Ann Arbor, Michigan. That's home to what you might call the Museum of Bad Ideas. Dustin Dwyer takes us there.
If a new consumer product goes bust, it might just make it into a special glass cabinet at Arbor Strategy Group Marketing Consultants. Marilyn Raymond works for the group. She reaches into the cabinet and shows me one of her favorite product blunders.
This was a shampoo company that sold this particular product. You could buy either the city people version of the product or the country people version of the product.
Now, it's possible people who live in cities would have different shampoo needs than people in the country. But as Raymond points out, people who lived in the suburbs weren't sure which shampoo to buy. And store owners stocking shelves were even more confused. The manufacturer only shipped cases with an equal number of each.
So Rite Aid, sitting there in downtown Manhattan, was stuck with half a case of Country People. You wonder, what was the sort of thinking behind it?
You could wonder that about a lot of the products here. The collection started 30 years ago when a marketing journalist started setting aside products he wrote about. Arbor Strategy Group bought the collection in 2001 as a teaching tool for marketers and product developers. Today it includes 110,000 items, both failed and successful, from around the world. And it's not cheap to stop by and look at what's here.
Just to walk in the door would start at $5,000.
Plenty of companies are willing to pay the price. Raymond says two or three groups come in every week.
One of the benefits of being in a place like this is you can see some of the packages that did not work in the marketplace, and you can sit back and analyze and say, well, now, why didn't that one work?
Aaron Brody is a packaging consultant. I found him on a recent Tuesday in the collection's condiment aisle. I met another packaging consultant named Brian Wagner. He says he walks the aisles of the collection about once a month.
The majority of our clients are huge. You know, they're $1 billion plus. There's lessons for all of them.
Those lessons can be complicated, like figuring out the best way to market a new sports drink. Or they can be simple, like don't try to sell Country People shampoo in New York City. In Ann Arbor, Michigan, I'm Dustin Dwyer for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and happy Thanksgiving from all of us at Marketplace.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.